This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Frank Sinatra would have been 100 tomorrow. We have a salute to him coming up as we get closer to the top of the hour, so don't
go
away.
Had he lived.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. Well, and you know, while he was with us, if you're a fan like I am, I mean, he was one of those guys. God, can he please live forever?
Aww.
I mean, honest to God, yeah, I feel
true
that way.
I still
feel that way. I want to say good evening to my first guest. It's Trisha DeGennaro. Trisha, good evening, and thank you for joining us on KGO.
Hi, good evening.
And you are a senior fellow with the World Policy Institute. I know you're a journalist and a world-class one. You're an academic, and you specialize on international security. And I thank you for joining us. And one of the things that I find very interesting, and one of the reasons we definitely wanted to talk to you, is because you have traveled the world, and you have been in the Middle East, and you have been to Syria.
Yes, more times than one.
Yeah, and before mm-hmm. all of this mess, this chaos that we're in now, for instance, when I was looking at your bio, you were talking about your trip from Beirut to Damascus. What was that like
right.
back in the day?
It was a pretty easy trip to make, actually. There's a road that goes straight down through the Baqa Valley, right into Damascus. We had hired a Syrian driver, and I went with a couple of my Lebanese friends. Because personally, for my academic interest, I wanted to see how the withdrawal of the Syrian troops had taken place and where the troops were actually positioned at that time, because there were a lot of rumors going around. And then after that, we went in and did some touring around, and I got to, you know, see the souk and talk to a lot of people. And Syria is quite a secular place, you know. Everything
That's
was
what
popping.
I always thought, yeah.
Yeah, businesses are going. People are very friendly and welcoming. It kind of, I lived for some time in Eastern Europe, and it actually kind of reminded me of that.
So when was
kind
this?
Of environment. When was that trip?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. About, it was right before the conflict had started.
Yeah, because I always remember people talking
right.
about Damascus as a fun place to be. And
oh, it's wonderful.
Right, and the Syrian people were very, as you said, very friendly and very generous. And at the beginning of this, was it all about the Assad regime?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to try to explain because it's such a long, you know, the Middle East has so
I know,
much
it's so
history,
complicated,
as
right.
we say. It's very complicated, right. But at the height of the Arab Spring, you know, there were a lot of movements throughout different countries, including Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, and
Egypt,
Syria, and,
yes.
and Egypt, which we heard about,
right,
you know,
time.
Probably the most in the Tunisia incident. So a group got together, and they had some demonstrations in country. They were very, you know, pretty, they were very peaceful, and basically, there are a lot of rumors, but, you know, basically Assad had asked them to stop, and what had happened was some armed groups came in and started shooting. So they thought that that was the demonstrators, and it wasn't the demonstrators. It was other armed groups. So there was a bit of a protagonist, I would say, that started the whole incident.
Right,
and then as Assad tried to crack down on those people, you know, the conflict just broadened.
It's unbelievable to me today with since this has been going on and it's become the humanitarian disaster that it truly is, and we find ourselves being mm-hmm. affected with things now that are going on in San Bernardino and in Paris and across the world with ISIS. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing. It's very chaotic. I don't know if you can put this, you know, piece together, this puzzle quickly in a couple minutes, but how did we get to this point? Was it because we didn't do anything?
Well, I think really what brought us to this point is that, as you saw during the Arab Spring, there was a lot of discontent in the region to begin with. There's a very young population there. They want democracy. They don't want to talk about religion. They want to get past the space that they're in where they can start defining and be a more democratic society and decide on their own future. I think what really led us to here in the long run is that we support some dictators in the region and some regimes that are not good, and we have not the, we as in the U.S. government have not supported other regimes, and we've decided to assist in removing them, and Syria's Assad is now on that list. But in addition to that, as we get to the next complicated factor, I really think the invasion of Iraq led to this really divisive revisiting of the divisive nature of the past of
yes, so that was the beginning. Yes, we made a big mistake right. with Iraq, and I have a feeling a lot of listeners, regardless on where you fall to the left or right, would agree with that. 808-0810, let's take a quick call before we go to the break, and then we'll be back because we want to continue to discuss this, especially with Trump being hawkish and Obama being, I don't know, wussy-ish, my words. Let's go.
Ollie in Oakland's on the line.
That.
You would say that? Or maybe you
would not say that.
You would not say that? Well, we'll talk about his remarks on Sunday. And
on the other side.
On the other side. Okay, 808-0810, and we'll talk about what the situation is. And I'm sorry, who do we have, Heather?
Yeah, go ahead, Ollie in Oakland.
Ollie.
Hi. Ollie calling from Oakland. I'm a person in my 60s. I'm raised Muslim. I know a lot about this situation. This people that they're called fanatics now, Muslims call them Salafis. That means someone who is very devout. They dress like Prophet Muhammad. They ate like the way he ate. Those people were symbolic years ago. They were about as important to everyday life as the Pope is to a Catholic. They were honored, but if people want to eat meat on Friday or if they want to have abortions or they want to use contraceptives, they don't check in with the Pope. We came in there and armed that small little group.
That's correct.
And then instead of realizing that we made a mistake, we thought we could come in there and use violence to dislodge them. And we created more problems. Remember Abu Ghraib? Remember all that type of stuff we did? That stuff is seared into the minds of Muslims.
And Ollie, so now, and, yes, go ahead. I've got a wrap here, but go ahead. Wrap it up, Ollie.
I'll wrap it up. We've ran these people crazy, and for sure they're crazy. Most Muslims I know are afraid of these people. We've ran them crazy, but we have to admit, like an orphan child that was mistreated and abused, they're crazy because we made them crazy.
And I tend to agree. And your thought, Tricia?
Well, yeah, well, I think that's a very important point, that most Muslims fear them and most Muslims don't want to talk about them. They don't want them around. But again, it's the same fear we have of these groups, so to speak, saying that, they're afraid of them. They're afraid to stand up to them. They're being abused by them every day. So they are just as afraid of these people, I think, probably more so because it's in their backyard than we are.
And I've got to take a break. On the other side, Tricia DeGennaro is our guest, and she is a senior fellow with the World Policy Institute. We'll discuss, was Obama really off in his address last weekend? And then you've got Trump, who's very hawkish and doesn't want Muslims entering the country, period. And it goes to just what Ollie just, he was saying. Where do you stand on this? What do you think? 808-0810. We'll continue the conversation right after we check in with the KGO newsroom on KGO 810.
Friday of next week.
Interrupt you now.
The Golden State Warriors win 124-119 over the Boston Celtics in double overtime. That is 24 straight wins to start the NBA season. And of course, everything is lining up for the Warriors to be undefeated when they take on LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers on Christmas Day.
The people in Boston, they don't look very happy right now.
Sorry,
you know
what?
They fought the good fight, though.
You know what kills me is that the national media was all over this, and I thought, that's odd. We don't usually get that kind of attention. Of course, it was in Boston, and the lead story was, the Celtics have a chance to end the Warriors' 23-game winning streak.
Didn't happen.
No,
it
sucks to be you. You know what? I can't top that. Back to you guys.
Thanks, John.
All right. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world, even in Boston on KGORadio.com. Download the app today. And we go back to Tricia DeGennaro. Tricia, we can't help ourselves.
Sorry.
Yes, our Golden State Warriors, the world champions. 24 games in a row.
Too much fun there.
Fun. 24. I mean, if you don't follow basketball, and I really don't, I mean, how can you not love that the season opens and they win 24 games in a row?
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
All right. So we're talking about back to politics just a little bit, and we have our salute to Frank Sinatra, who would have been 100 tomorrow coming up. I want to talk about, as we talk about the things that went on, the horrible tragedy and the horror of San Bernardino and now ISIS and President Obama versus what's happening with Donald Trump. So let's talk about the president. Do you think he's being too soft? And then Donald Trump, is he being too hawkish?
No, I don't think the president is being too soft at all. I mean, what I think is happening as far as the White House is concerned or the administration is they're weaponizing too many people and they're also using too many weapons. Obama has probably used more drones to drop weapons than any Bush administration did, and unfortunately it's causing more animosity than any good. We try to say we're bombing the IS people, Daesh people, that are in civilian areas, and it's really difficult to say that you're not helping to displace people at the same time. I mean, under those circumstances, I don't know if anybody's ever seen a JDAM hit a building, but it's not a pretty sight and pretty much can destroy it.
808-0810 is the number. Okay. All right. Let's take some more calls. And we have, let's go to
Rob in Richmond.
Rob, you're on KGO.
Hi. Thank you. Tricia, look, wouldn't you agree that historically it's absolutely absurd to blame the West, blame the U.S. for the horrific problems in the soul of Islam going back 14 centuries, which is the toxic mix of politics and theocracy. And you can't write it out of the Quran. It just has to be overcome by enough Muslims that say President Assisi said in Egypt, enough of the pathological ideas that stem from some of these dogmas and doctrines. And so any time you hear America blamed and the U.S. and the West, it's just absurd. Salafism and terrorism in the soul of Islam goes back so many thousands, 1,400 years. And don't you agree that this is absurd to blame that toxic core problem in Islam on the West?
Very good. Thank you. I'll let her respond.
Well, frankly, each religion, I think, has its own toxic core, and we can, you know, look at it in any one of them. It's unfortunate. Well, you know, Islam is the youngest one, and they haven't had their revolution. And perhaps what they're doing now is having their revolutions that the Catholics and the Jews have already been through, or the Christians and the Jews. But I mean, I think overall, you know, I spend a lot of time in this region of the world. I don't think this is at the core of anybody's soul or anybody's purpose. I think quite the contrary. It's unfortunate that, you know, a few people who are absolutely brutal, getting away with it, and very horrifically violent, are setting the tone for a lot of beliefs that we're having in the West. As far as the U.S. being responsible, you know, colonial powers are responsible for marginalizing and distributing and cutting up people's homes and states and villages. And, history plays a big part today. It does. And I think, you know, we have to see our own responsibility in it. And it's, you know, there's enough blame to go around, but let's be responsible for ourselves is where I would think I would like to come from.
Tricia, which, if any, candidates who are running for president right now for, you know, the presidency in 2016, do you think seem to have the best grasp on U.S. foreign policy?
I mean, that's easy enough for me. I think it's Hillary Clinton, hands down. She's got the best resume. She has been in, you know, many positions. She's made her mistakes, and there's some things she's done that I haven't agreed with. But as far as, you know, the best grasp of what's happening in the world, you know, it's hands down has to be Hillary Clinton.
Well,
as far as
just,
the candidates.
I agree with you, and I want to go back to Obama for a second, because I think we disagree on this. I did not like what he had to say in his speech from the Oval Office on Sunday. I thought it was really weak. I thought it was, and I'm a big supporter of his, but I just thought it was way, way off base. Basically, I felt as though he was phoning it in. And you know, we talk about, and his detractors say that, just as you said, with the dropping the drones, the cruise missiles, it's an incremental thing, just like Vietnam. It's kind of messy. It almost seems like he's passing it off to the next person. You know, I've had enough. Next. I don't want to deal with it. You know, that's just the way
I mean, the White House and the way the administration runs policy is very close to the vest. They're not very transparent. And I think that reflects partially on President Obama's statements and what he said. He is not very clear about what exactly is going on. Well,
him lecturing us is not the answer.
Right. No, and I agree with that 100%. I think that we're adults in this country, and we're logical and rational enough that we have to understand that a lot of these narratives are just so that Washington and a lot of policymakers can do what they want.
That's right. And then so you understand and you see why a lot of Americans seem to support Trump's tough guy stance.
Well, I have a hard time with that. Trump is very divisive. I just don't think that's healthy for any country. It's certainly not healthy for this one. We're an inclusive society. We've certainly had our own history in this country, but you know, we really need to address that and recognize it and move forward together as a nation. But, you know, this kind of calling people out and separating people and doing, you know, saying people are you know, in terms of what Donald Trump says, stupid. I mean, that's just very disrespectful.
It's not going to right. work in the world community. That's for sure. Go ahead, Heather.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Patricia, I was just going to say, let's say Hillary Clinton wins, posts you to her cabinet for foreign policy. What are the first one or two things that you do?
Oh, the first thing I would do is stop the bombing. And the second thing I would probably do is really work directly with the Syrian government to get the place stable. It's not my position to say Assad needs to come or go, and I don't think it's the U.S.'s position either. I think it's our position to put a policy in place that benefits U.S. national interests and U.S. society. And, you know, stability is the first thing in that area, and we just haven't been following that at all.
And that includes working with the Russians, and this administration doesn't want to seem to do that. Yeah.
No, they don't want to. We always have to have some kind of, you know, bad guy out there.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
So many loose
ends. And it's just not beneficial to our people and our, you know, and our own military and our own, you know, foreign policy makers here.
Right.
Tricia, it's been great talking to you, Tricia DeGennaro, and she is a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. Have a wonderful holiday. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, and have a good night. All right, we're going to take a break. Ah, Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.